Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on 4930-5940 and 154-55 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com or www.voanews.com.
Among our top stories this evening,
police arrest Youth Chairman Solomon Matsore of the MDC formation led by Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai for allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe.
He was arrested this morning after the police invited him to arrive at a central police station. And as a law-abiding leader, Matsore handed himself over to the police, believing that the police wanted to have a genuine discussion with him.
The United States removes the names of senior ZANU-PF officials who are late and only two surviving members from its sanctions list as the country insists major changes only can be made after a free and fair election.
Former Secretary Clinton spoke about our action for action policy last year. We continue to pursue the approach of acknowledging progress in Zimbabwe. And I think progress has been made here. The Government of National Unity has produced some good steps forward.
And ZANU-PF supporters are up in arms in Maswingo, threatening to force the closure of a major sugar-producing company for not allocating them plots. Police in Harare today arrested Solomon Matsore, the National Youth Chairman of the MDC formation of Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, on charges of undermining the office of the president. Lawyer Charles Kwaramba of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights confirmed Matsore's arrest to Studio 7. In a statement released today, the MDCT says police are alleging the youth leader made insulting remarks to President Mugabe while addressing a party rally in Mbire, Mashonaland Central. The party's Youth Assembly Secretary General Promise Mkwananzi told Studio 7 Matsore is still being questioned at Bindura Police Station, where he was transferred to by the Harare Police.
They've since handed him over to Bindura Police Station, which is notorious for torturing and mistreating prisoners. Consulted the lawyers, and we have consulted Matsore himself. Our understanding is that Matsore is being accused for having campaigned against Mugabe and urged Zimbabweans to vote for Morgan Tsvangirai. That is his only crime. And we believe that it is democratic right to campaign for candidates of his choice, and the candidate of his choice and that of the people of Zimbabwe is none other than Richard Tsvangirai.
When and how was he arrested?
He was arrested this morning after the police invited him to arrive at a central police station. And as a law-abiding leader, Matsore handed himself over to the police, believing that the police wanted to have a genuine discussion with him, at which point they then detained him and surrendered him to the police from Bindura.
That was Promise Mkwananzi, Secretary General of the MDCT National Youth Assembly, on the line from Harare.
The United States has removed from its sanctions list a number of late senior ZANU-PF officials and two surviving members, Edward Chindori Chininga and former Manicaland Governor Tinaye Chigudu. Among those who are late and now off the list are the late Education Minister Stan Mudenge, David Karimanzira, General Solomon Tapumane Mujuru, Solomon Tawengwa, the late Deputy Police Commissioner Barbara Mandija, and Kantibal Patel. Reporter Blessing Zulu spoke with U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Watt, who says though some people and entities have now been removed from the list, America is still pursuing Hillary Clinton's policy of action for action in dealing with Zimbabwe, adding an acceptable election in Zimbabwe will lead to more changes.
Former Secretary Clinton spoke about our action for action policy last year. We continue to pursue the approach of acknowledging progress in Zimbabwe. And I think progress has been made here. The Government of National Unity has produced some good steps forward. The constitutional referendum was held very peacefully. And so just last week, we acknowledged that and by licensing or delisting Agribank and the Infrastructure Development Bank of Zimbabwe, two institutions that I think can play a positive role in development here. We regularly review the list of people and institutions that are on our targeted sanctions list and make adjustments as those are necessary. But I think we've been pretty clear in the last few months that a credible, peaceful election, one that is open to international observation and continuing with the global political agreement and the SADC roadmap to elections. Those are going to be key steps forward that we will acknowledge with further reduction of our sanctions.
Talking about the election, they also seem to be this love-hate relationship, if we may describe it that way, between Zimbabwe and the United Nations. In your own analysis, what do you think is the best way forward for Zimbabwe to get funding for elections?
Well, you know, that's really a sovereign matter for the government of Zimbabwe to work out with the United Nations. I think it would be very, very useful for the United Nations to play a role here in elections. I know that there is interest in the donor community to support a UN-based approach for funding or supporting elections. But I think until the government of Zimbabwe and the UN work out the details, none of us can really move forward with that.
That was U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Bruce Watson, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.